in. Good Friday morning. It is a getaway Friday, January the 21st, 2022, 16 and a half minutes past the hour here on WWGH Radio. You are tuned in to the Pastor Spot, a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship, heard every Friday morning here on WWGH Radio, and replayed every Sunday morning at 8:10 a.m. and every Wednesday afternoon at 3:10 p.m. Remember, archive episodes of the show are available on the website WWGH1071.com. Go to the program archive page and you can see episodes dating back to March of 2018, I believe. Also, the Community Christian Fellowship Sunday message is on this station every Sunday afternoon at 12:15 p.m., and you can get those sermons, messages, on the website as well. And now we turn it over to the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker.
Closer. Good morning. This is WWGH Radio, the Pastor Spot, 107.9 FM. We're recording here at the church today. It's good to have you. I'm Pastor Steve Whitaker. I'm joined by Frank Robinson. I think you got about half a screen of Frank, but he is here.
Good morning.
And we are sponsored by Community Christian Fellowship at 209 East Water Street in Prospect, Ohio. I'm the pastor there. We have Sunday services at 10:30 on Sunday in the morning, and we have Bible study an hour before that, and many other services and youth activities and things during the week, which if you'll call in, it's 740-494-2222, which is our number here at the church. There's a list given of those things when they call in. But we'd love to have you visit sometime. This morning, I'd like to talk about something that's a little bit controversial to some. And I certainly don't want to, I have the support of our sponsors. Of course, we are also sponsored by Jeff's Bicycle Shop in Mid-Ohio Insurance Solutions, mm-hmm. which is in Cardington, and also in Galleon. Do great work. They're good people.
Very nice people.
Extremely good people. But what I want to talk this morning to you today is National Right to Life Day. And most people don't know that. It certainly was not on the news this morning. This morning there will be a huge gathering in Washington of thousands of people, thousands and thousands, which it happens every year. And it's a peaceful thing. That it's amazing when they leave Washington, they leave it clean as a pin, with no trash anywhere. It shows you the heart and attitude of those
quite
people.
Quite a contrast.
Yes, it is.
Absolutely,
it's a huge contrast. But anyway, you probably won't see much about it on the mainstream media, but if you'll look it up on your computer. A matter of fact, James Dobson's show on... which is on AFR, American Family Radio. If you Google James Dobson, and he is going to be showing it live all day long in Washington.
Really? Really?
Yes, he will.
What an excellent ministry they have.
Oh, they have an unbelievable ministry. I was listening to a Dr. Lyle on there this morning, and I'm sorry I don't have his first name, but he heads up something that is called... I really had to write it. Isn't that horrible? It's called abortionpillreversal.com.
Oh, okay.
And what they can do, you know, what happens when you take the abortion pill, which unfortunately you can take up to 70 days. Mm. And at 70 days, we're talking about a baby. Mm. We're talking about a baby.
A baby.
And what happens is it blocks progesterone in women. And progesterone gets its name from the fact that it's a hormone that is produces gestation mm-hmm. hormones it tells the body, the woman's body basically, okay, it's time to close up the womb, it's time to start adding these nutrients, it's time to do all these things, and that's what happens. Right. Well, when you take the pill, what it does is it stops that, and it not only stops that, it throws the woman into, you know, the cramping process and the whole thing of delivery. So, which is actually not a happy experience, especially no. The further along we are. But what it does, it essentially starves the baby to death. And so what this abortion pill reversal is, if a young woman would decide after she's taken her first dose that, you know, I made a mistake, I shouldn't have done this, you can go to abortionpillreversal.com, and they will hook you up with someone that will help you. They'll get you a prescription to take, basically, progesterone.
Oh.
Some women get progesterone therapy anyway because their body didn't produce enough.
Mm-hmm.
So all they do is replace what the pill stopped.
Sure.
So then the baby can be formed again, and it's working very well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think to this point, I forget the number of women have done, but it's many, many. You know, a lot of women, after they decide to have an abortion, they really change their mind. And you gave an example this morning of... they were talking about people jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge. And there have been 29 people that have jumped and not died from the Golden Gate Bridge, believe it or not. And every one of those that were interviewed, every last one of them said the same thing. They said they were all ready. They felt everyone hated them. The world didn't love them and all of those things. And they got up and made this decision, I'm going to end it. And they said when they looked up as they were falling and saw the bridge above them, every one of them says, oh, God, what am I doing? Save me. Or something to that effect.
Sure.
Every one of them changed their mind that quick. But with them, it wasn't too late because they were saved.
Mm-hmm.
But every one of them said that. Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
And that's verifiable. By the way, speaking of verifiable, I know that today's show... because it's a controversial subject, and because it's a pro-life controversial subject, and that you probably will see a tag on this at some point that says, you know, there may be false information in this or something to that effect. I promise you, there will be no false information coming from here.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, our opinion checkers are basically just that. They're not fact checkers, and that's what happens.
Just opinions.
And then opinions, and that's what happens. I know last Sunday our live feed was cut off from the church service, and they said that, you know, there may be copyright infringements because of the music that we were using, but we hold both CCLV and, anyway, both of those licenses that allow us to do exactly what we do. But it didn't stop Facebook from not just putting a notation on there. They shut the broadcast off.
Yes, they did.
And, you know, that's something we're just going to have to battle. And since then, after talking to many other pastors and people involved in churches everywhere, they're all battling this same thing. It looks like they're trying to find an excuse to silence our Christian voice and our opinion in every way they can. And that's not the America I grew up in.
Yeah.
And I understand that we have differing views, don't we, Frank?
Sure we do.
And it's very hard for someone that has been involved or had an abortion. They don't want to carry that guilt. They don't want to be told that, you know, what they did was sinful and murder and those things. That's hard to handle.
Yeah.
But I think that what people have to understand is that we have a loving God.
Absolutely.
That forgives wholly and completely.
That's right.
And that child, from the time they are aborted, they're in God's hands. And rather than a woman carrying that guilt, which so many do, there's very few women that have abortions that don't later come back and say, you know, I've often wondered what that child
would
be. Was it a boy or a girl? This is very interesting. You know, there's this argument, my body, my choice, right?
Yes.
Interestingly enough, I found out some very good information from this Dr. Lyle. That at 2 weeks of age, 2 weeks from conception, guys, that's just a little tiny bean at that point, you know, forming in the baby. At 2 weeks from, you can draw blood from a woman that's carrying this child, and the baby's going to carry about 5% of the DNA molecule in that blood, and they can separate it out from the mother. And they can tell, this is really cool, I think this is really neat. They not only can tell if it's a boy or a girl because of its separate DNA, but once they've separated that out, you know where you go to these genealogy services and they can take your DNA and tell your background? A baby from 2 weeks of conception, and they can't do anything with a baby at that point, but they can draw the mother's blood, which everything's mixed in the umbilical cord comes through, you know how that works. But they can test the blood, and they can give you a full genealogy background on that baby.
No.
Absolutely. At 2 weeks from conception. That's amazing.
That is.
This doctor that I was listening to has performed blood transfusions in babies that are 22 weeks.
Wow.
Where maybe the they've needed anti-rejection medicine and different things. So sometimes a mother's own blood will fight with a rejection of the foreign blood that the baby has, which is rare, but it happens. Mm-hmm. They've done heart surgery on babies.
Oh, yeah.
At 22 weeks, heart surgery. Isn't that amazing?
I can't imagine that because when I left surgery, the newest surgical procedure we had that drew nurses and surgeons in was a tubal ligation using fiber optics.
Mm-hmm.
That's going back quite a few years.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I mean, to advance to the point where you can do open heart surgery on an embryo, on a baby.
I want to correct that. That's not particularly open heart surgery. What they do is, like, he was given an example of a baby that's having distress, and you can hear that in the heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of having a whoosh, 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 the voice, it's a
swishy.
Yeah. Because they're not getting it. They would go in, and just like they go in and put a balloon in someone's heart today, they go in through the umbilical cord, and they go up through it, and they go in. It's amazing. And they can go in and then go right into the baby's heart and expand that back out and can come back out, and the child's fine. Another thing that's really neat, babies in the womb, young babies in the womb, they have been doing spinal surgery on for spina bifida. And I have a granddaughter, Julia, which was born with spina bifida, and I'm well aware of the difficulties of that. But you know, if it's caught in the womb early enough, they can go in and actually do surgery and reverse that exposure of the spine. So many different things that they're doing now in the womb is just amazing. But you know, I want to read a passage this morning in one of David's Psalms, and he says in Psalm chapter 139 verse 13, he says, "For thou hast possessed my inward parts, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." And he's talking about that protection of God while you're in your mother's womb. He says, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." I love that.
Yeah, absolutely.
God makes us. God makes us from the time that we're conceived. He's made us, just like I said, at 2 weeks of conception, they can take a mother's blood and separate out what's the baby's and what's not in that DNA, and it can come out and show that it's male or female and its entire background of its genetics. That is just wonderful.
I can't imagine that.
I think it's kind of exciting if you think about it. It says, "I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works that my soul knoweth right well." You know, if you're wonderfully made, God has a purpose for you.
Absolutely.
And he has a purpose for every child that's conceived. You know, one of the real arguments today that we get a lot of times from the abortion industry and from the abortion rights people. I've already settled the issue that it's my woman, my body. First of all, if you got different DNA, and it's not your body. You're carrying another body in you.
Yeah.
You are simply the one that God has designed to take care of that. He has covered you in your mother's womb to be taken care of. That is why when you take the abortion pill, not the day, I'm not talking about the day after, I'm talking about the one that you can take all the way up to 70 days.
Mm-hmm.
When you take that, that's why it has to stop the progesterone from the mother taking care of the baby to where the baby is essentially starved to death. Mm-hmm. Because it's a separate person.
Sure.
And it's got separate DNA. It's got a separate history.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes,
it's
it
just
is.
Like if the mother can be American Indian and American Indian and Irish, just as an example. Well, that baby may have a father that is African American, and now when you check that, you're going to have a baby that's half African American, half a quarter Indian and a quarter Irish. It's
mm-hmm.
going to show in that blood. It's going to take it all the way back to the family. That's not you. That is not my body,
no,
my
no.
choice. You might make a choice not to carry a life with inside you, but mark my words, and may it be very clear, this is a separate human being living inside of you that you have, God has created through you, but you have had a hand in its birth. I know that there's a lot of argument about, well, what about rape? What do you do about you know, I've talked to different people that have been involved in that very thing. And while in most cases they choose to give the baby up for adoption, they're also still very glad they carried a life. Mm-hmm. But for using that argument, the percentages of people that actually end a pregnancy because of a rape is a very, very, very small fraction. Interestingly enough, too, because of COVID and because of all the mail order stuff we're doing now, 53% of the abortions being performed in the last year have been done with the abortion pill, which can obviously go up to 70 days of pregnancy. And the sad thing is there's no counseling with that. Mm-hmm. It's mail order. Mm-hmm. And it breaks my heart because there should be counseling with that. Because the after effect is unbelievable. My brother, David, worked for Heartbeat International in San Francisco and in some other places also. But he designed a program to counsel men who had been victims of abortion. In other words, you have a wife, a girlfriend, whatever the case is, she becomes pregnant and it's her decision to have the abortion. You don't have a choice in it, even though you're the other half of the equation. And many of them really suffer the effects of that afterwards.
Sure.
And he developed a counseling program for that when he was there several years ago. But there is counseling that's needed, you know, in many cases. And, you know, another argument that comes out that's very, very critical is the fact that who's going to love me and who's going to take care of me? The truth of the matter is we got to do a better job of that.
We certainly do. I mean, if the church is going to take a stance, and we've taken a stance, we need to also carry through with helping a mother that decides to keep the baby through counseling, through financial aid.
Absolutely. I don't know if many people in Marion know this or how many know it, but, you know, there's Hope Center in Marion. There's two of them now.
There's one in Delaware.
They're all over the place, and they're fantastic. I mean, we plan as a church of doing a lot more hands-on support with them in the next few years, and we've donated to them at this point and certainly want to keep that up. But they will have a mother come in, and, you know, they're not only going to provide the ultrasounds, but they're also going to teach, to counsel. They're going to teach parenting. They're going to have classes that they do. They help them earn points so they can
go into a store and shop.
Go into their store, and they have, you know, all the baby needs that are involved. These are people that are going to hold your hand and walk you through this all the way.
Well, absolutely.
And
provide counseling.
Absolutely. I think that a lot of times, another reason a lot of people don't continue with a pregnancy is because they think, wow, this just really threw a wrench in my life. I had all these plans, and now what am I going to do? I want to promise you something, that if you honor God, it never returns void. And yes, it's going to be more difficult. But the bottom line is, you'll be glad when you did.
Oh, absolutely.
And you'll end up with a child that looks back and say, boy, isn't this great? My mom loved me, and look what she went through to keep me.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I when you mentioned what today was, I was thinking back of some of the notable Americans who were put up for adoption instead of ordered. Mm-hmm. And Gerald Ford popped in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And he was adopted instead of aborted. And he thanks the mother who birthed him for making the right decision.
And there's, you know, there's so many today that are thankful for that. You know, the kids out there that very easily could have fallen victim to that. Now, back when Gerald Ford was born, they were illegal, and I'm sure, but that didn't mean that they couldn't still, you know, mm-hmm. take place. But, you know, I just think that I can't help but constantly go back in my mind when I think about this. I know the importance of the life of the child, and I know the fact that it is a child, and it is a separate human being. But I can't help but continually go back to the fact that women are hurting at this decision. This is a time in their life when they should feel so much joy because the way it's intended to be, the way it's always been intended to be, is that you have a spouse, you plan your lives together, you're ready to have a child, you plan a child. That's the way that it should be and the way it planned to be. I wish that more women today and young men would decide to respect that more and save themselves for a time when they're going to be with that person for the rest of their life like it's meant to be. But when we play fast and loose with our sexual lives, these are things that happen. But I have to ask the question, whose fault is it? Is it that child's fault that was conceived that's in you, that expects you to be a warm covering and help them grow and nurture and become a human being? Is it their fault? Or is it the fact that if you had not had been irresponsible with your own body, you wouldn't have helped create this other body?
What about the teaching?
How do you mean?
We're assuming.
Frank, come over here just a little. You're okay.
Am I sliding away?
Yeah, you're good. You're there.
Okay. What I mean, Steve, is without the knowledge of God and Christ in a person's life, how do they have any guidelines? You can have a moral guideline.
Right.
But look at morality out in the world today. Look at morality during World War II in Nazi Germany.
Look at the Philippines.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, my word.
You know,
what went on with the Japanese, and they just literally, women were just whatever. But it was just sad. I mean, the amount of Japanese Filipinos today because of World War II, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
And that's not the way God meant it. Women, I want to tell you something. God made you special.
Oh, absolutely.
And men, you were supposed to hold them up on a pedestal of something special. And women, you're supposed to be thrilled that the man looks at you that way and wants to love you and honor you. You know, when I was growing up, we talk about this, us older guys talk about this all the time, and I had this discussion the other night, even with some women. And, you know, back when I was in school, it's not that been that many years ago. I'll put it this way. We're so old that Aerosmith was popular then, too. So, and the Rolling Stones. But anyway, typically, if your girlfriend or whoever, if they did get pregnant, you married them. That's what you did.
Oh, absolutely.
And people say, well, what if you didn't love them? Well, you know what?
You learn to love.
You learn to love. It's a commitment. And that's what happened typically. That's not always what happened. But there was a sense of responsibility, and there was a sense of, hey, that's my child.
Absolutely.
You know, not something to be discarded.
Absolutely.
So many young men today, you know, the girlfriend says I'm pregnant, so are you going to do something about it? And even if they're not, they say, well, go down and file for this and file for that. Look, guys, there's a responsibility when you're the other half of that equation, and you need to live up to it. You need to be a man and a father. If you expect that girl to carry the burden of a child, and it is a burden when you don't know how you're going to feed them, where you're going to live, and all those things. But I'm going to promise you the resources are out there. And there's people out there that will love you and will help you. Seek out the church. Seek out this church and what they will do.
Yes.
There are probably some churches that may encourage you to get an abortion, but I'm going to tell you something, they wouldn't really be a church, would they?
No, they wouldn't.
Because they can't be following the Word of God. And I think Frank touched on a really important point, that you have to believe in God and who He is. You have to believe in the truth of Scripture, and you have to have that relationship to understand the true morality of what we're talking about. If you don't have that moral base and that moral compass, you're going to make up your own morality, and that's going to include your feelings, what you want, what you think is good. But there is never anything positive that's going to come out of doing something that is against what God says to do. Boy, this abortion is a hot-button topic, I know that. And I really, you know, but I have to tell the truth, you know, when I talk about it. Abortion has never, ever affected me personally, I can say that. I've never had, you know, Shirley and I got married young, and we had a lot of kids, and we raised them, and we've had a wonderful marriage. Everyone said that marriage won't last 6 months. You know, we were one of those couples that everyone just shook their head out and said, I don't believe those kids are getting married. Oh, they're not ready for this. Well, what were we ready for? We took on the responsibility of a family, and yeah, it was a lot of rough figuring things out and doing things, but we knew, both knew, that we had a responsibility, and our responsibility to us was always not just each other, but we knew that we had children, and those children were important, and we needed to take care of them. I want to tell you, Mom, out there, there is no greater blessing than knowing you're doing the best I can do for my child, and I am doing everything I can do, and I love them, and I'm going to help them. You know, one of the problems we're having today in society is the fact that people are expecting the schools and the churches to raise their kids. People say, well, my kid was raised in church, they turned out horrible. And I have to ask the question, were they really? The point being, the church is you. The church is the body of Christ.
Yes.
Did they just go to church once a week for a service, or once every other week, or youth group once a week? Or when they came home, were they being raised by you? See, the responsibility is on the parents. It's not on the school teacher to raise them. It's not on SAC. It's not on Head Start. It's not on any of those programs. The responsibility lies with you.
With the parent.
And if you work, and then as they go to those places, they'll be more well-adjusted and things will be fine. Don't expect your kids to come to church and sit down and listen about God if at home is total bedlam and you never sit down and discuss any of these things with them. Why would they listen? Why would you expect them to? And it's sad, you know, regardless, Frank, of what people want to say about the church, and oh, the church did this and the church did that. A lot of bad things have been done in the name of the church.
Oh, certainly have.
Have you ever had something done in your name that was bad? I think so.
Oh, I hope so, yeah.
But the thing is that the truth of the church, and when this country was living and growing in a moral basis as we should, even, I must say this too, even through the times of segregation and when civil rights weren't where they should be, I can tell you this, that faith was strong in the African American church.
It certainly was.
And faith was strong in the white church. Mm-hmm. They had some stuff to get over, mm-hmm. didn't they?
And I
will say this true too, that most people don't realize this. It was the Christians in America that fought for the freedom of the people in the South. It was the true Christians that said this is wrong. And it was those people that said that this isn't what we should be doing. But my point is that through everything we've been through in this country, you know, the churches were strong, faith was strong in families. You know what got a lot of the black families through the hardships? Their faith in Jesus Christ.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's just like, if you've ever seen pictures of Appalachia and some of the poor, and out west where the dust bowls and stuff were, mm-hmm. most of those people were white people, and just dirt poor as dirt can be, and many of them starved, they had disease, they had all these things, but yet many of them still carry their faith, and today those people are with our Heavenly Father and living a wonderful, wonderful eternity, and they always will because they've trusted Him with their life.
Yes.
Evil's going to be here. We can't do anything about it. But we don't have to take part in it. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Because Billy Graham refused when he went to South Africa.
Yes.
To refuse to hold a revival if there was separation.
Mm-hmm.
And South Africa came around.
And there was
it was not. Also, Georgia. It was the very same thing in Georgia. He refused to do a revival.
And he was back during the times of segregation.
That's right.
When he started preaching. But it's the understanding, you know, as Christ made us all one. He made us the same. There's no difference in us. It doesn't matter what color we are, what ethnic background we have. We really need to focus on who God made us as a whole. As David said here, it says, "You possessed my inward parts. Thou covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well." Well, David was Jewish. So I guess if you're an anti-Semite, you don't like David either.
Yeah, probably so.
But the truth was, it doesn't matter. You know, the very fact that Jesus told a Samaritan woman who he was, the woman at the well.
Yes.
Samaritans were the bad group at that time.
That's right.
They weren't supposed to have anything to do with. But Jesus himself showed, this is not wrong. This is not the way we're supposed to be. There should be no division. But here's the point. The point is that God also gave us something when we were born. He not only gave us hope, He not only gave us the ability to surrender everything we've ever done to His feet, and He pays for it on, it's already paid for. He covers it on the spot. You don't have to carry guilt for anything you've done. He washes your heart white as snow. All you do is say, Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for washing my for washing my sins away. I accept your free gift of salvation. Yes. And then you walk and you live for Him. But I have to tell you, He gave us something called personal responsibility. Right. And it's our responsibility to respond. It's our responsibility to take responsibility for our lives, for where we are. The only way you're going to get in the, out of the rut that you're in is keep your eyes on the Lord and say, I'm going to do it, and step out. And start stepping in a positive direction, looking at the light instead of the darkness. And don't let those around you that would drag you and pull you back get a hold of you. Sometimes you've got to separate from the people you know, from friends, everyone you know. And you've got to get up and say, I'm going somewhere else. You know, I think one thing great for young people, and you can, quite frankly, you can get in bad groups there too. But if you want to just get away from where you are and say, man, I got to break this cycle, go to the military. Mm-hmm. I really believe that.
Oh, absolutely.
I know several young men. We have friends from this church, young men. We think of David and Tony and Jason are all in the service right now. People I know, they're afraid of war and whatnot. But if you're in a situation where you're at home and you're not, you know that things aren't good and you're in a bad way and you got to get away from where you need to be, why don't you go in the service and start some getting your life straight?
Oh, absolutely.
That's men and female.
You mentioned that about war. Gee whiz, how many urbanites, people in cities and out in the country, getting murdered? I mean, you read about it every day. A little girl, a little boy sitting inside the house, and all of a sudden gunfire erupts outside and pierces the wall.
Chicago had over 800 murders this year so far. Well, in the last year, 800 murders. Now, you realize there's more people murdered in the United States than there are killed overseas in battle, and we worry about going in overseas.
Sure.
And that's what you're getting at.
Sure. But it's outstanding training. Is giving kids who might not have any responsibility, it's giving them responsibility, it's giving them training, it's giving them pride in who they are.
You know, good old Joe Biden, our president, promised everybody free college when he was running.
Yes.
I haven't seen that yet, but what I will say that, you know, if you do spend that time in the service, they do give you an education.
Oh, they certainly do.
And you do get that college and many other benefits that go with it.
Yes.
I know a lot of people that have taken advantage of that GI Bill. Mm-hmm. And it's a great thing. And the other thing that is, if you stay in for some lengthy period of time, you can retire very young from the service and still work and have that income.
Sure.
And you can have the insurance and all the things that bring with it.
Absolutely.
And the health care. You know, I'm not here to be a recruiter today, but all I'm saying is that, look,
there are choices.
There's choices to be made. Find a good Bible-believing church and find a pastor that is willing to honestly teach the Word of God as it is written and how it's meant to be and not just make a fluff sermon to make you feel good and go home. Because that does no one any good. It's kind of like when a teacher's grade on a curve. You know, you didn't study, nobody studied,
yeah.
Everyone got an F, so she grades it, she gives them all a C. No, that doesn't do anyone any good. If you cheat to get something, if you steal it, that does you no good. If you go to church where you're not hearing the truth, that does you no good. You know, it makes you feel good, but only for a season. And that's the way sin works.
Yes.
It always makes you feel good for a season. Have you ever done anything because, man, this will be great. This is what everyone else does. This will make me feel good. And then you live with that regret of what you did and the outcome that it caused. Of course you have.
Oh, yes.
And I feel that's a lot of way with a way that a lot of women go through. And I know that the abortion right people will say, well, you quit trying to make them feel guilty and they won't feel guilty. And that's an absolute lie. That guilt comes from within and with what you've done. It has nothing to do with me reminding you. What I'm trying to tell you is, A, avoid that, mm-hmm. and B, understand there are those out there that will help you, and they truly will. I don't know of any young woman that has sought help that couldn't get it. You know that?
Yeah.
Even if they want to continue on with school and go back to school, there's help with childcare. There's help with, matter of fact, there's even help with scholarships and education so you can still do it.
Absolutely.
Love that child that God has allowed you to conceive. God put that covering over that child, and that's you. You're the covering. You're the one that's supposed to nurture them in your womb, just like it's a cradle. And I encourage you to do that. And go to Google James Dobson and look at the today the peaceful, wonderful rally that you'll see in Washington that happens every year. And all these people are doing is marching for the right thing.
Yes.
So far in this country, we've had 63 million abortions. That is just mind-boggling to me that there has been that many. And, wow.
Yes.
Hard to believe, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
But you know what? God loves you. And God loved that child. Mm-hmm. And I pray that the day comes that when you go to heaven, if you give your life to Christ, you get to meet that child.
Oh, absolutely.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yeah, it's great.
I'm going to close with a quick story. I was watching, there's a play out there, and the play is called Eternity. It's done out of a theater group in New York City, and they travel around and do it. And they do different scenarios of people that living different ways and things happening, and then they die in a tragic accident or whatever in the play. And they find themselves before God. And either they're welcomed into eternity or they go, they're pulled somewhere else. You know what I mean? Scares me. And in this one particular scene, this young lady gets pregnant and her boyfriend talks her into an abortion. She doesn't want it. He talks her into it. And then she's carrying so much guilt, and she's really struggling with her life. Of course, the boyfriend leaves anyway, right?
Sure.
So her girlfriend, you know, wants to talk to her about Jesus, how much God loves her. She said, God could never love me. Look what I did. She's just carrying this guilt. She said, no, you don't understand. God loves you completely, and he will forgive you of that, and he will heal you, and you can be a whole person again. And she does accept Christ, and then she gets killed. And when she stands there and she stands before the Lord and the angel opens the Lamb's Book of Life and welcomes her into heaven and she starts up that stairway, Jesus is coming down and he's holding this baby in his arms.
Wow.
And that, out of everything that went on in that place, matter of fact, I just got goosebumps on top of my head telling that. That is the love of Christ that I want you to understand today.
Yes.
And it's available to you. God loves you. You know, if you've been a victim of abortion, if you've had one, understand, God loves you. And he just wants you to accept him. And look, if you're ever struggling with a pregnancy and you don't know where to go, 494-2222, we will get back with you, I promise, and direct you where you need to go. Frank, beautiful day.
It's a beautiful day.
Frank, close us in prayer today.
Gracious Lord, we just give you thanks for this beautiful day, and we give you thanks for those who have tuned in to listen to Pastor Steve and this message. And Lord, we pray for those who might have had an abortion, Heavenly Father, that you relieve the guilt that they have and accept them into your family, Heavenly Father. Lord, just continue to watch over us, watch over the church at large, and just give us anticipation to look forward to another beautiful day down the road. In Christ's name.
Amen.
Disaster Spot here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. Check out the website, WWGH1071.com, live every Friday morning at 11:10 a.m. Stay tuned.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For Jim Lavelle, the man handcuffed to Lee Harvey Oswald when he was assassinated.
So when you're coming out the door with Lee Harvey Oswald handcuffed to you, you're there to protect him. Take me through that walk. What do you see